Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Yeah.
It's the same song,
we've had.
Really?
We've had that song for a while.
It sounded different.
You just don't pay attention.
No, it sounded different to me, too.
It sounded a little different, like a remix.
Well, you know,
I was getting ready to see the credits for, like, you know, Jason Priestley, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Luke Perry, Jeannie Garth. Like, I was ready.
You're ready? Memory lane, huh?
Oh, no, but can I tell you what I'm ready for? Oh, okay, Mike, sorry, go ahead, do your intro.
Well, I was just going to say, I just want to clear a few things up, because apparently Jeff and Karen were a little confused last night during the show.
Now that we know the truth,
maybe,
I'm not happy.
Maybe some of our listeners are a little confused as well. Well, Jeff, you can go bite yourself. But everyone who thought that this was Katrina, it was not.
Oh!
You just had to play it again, didn't you?
That was a sound clip. So was this.
Oh.
Michael, you're banned from Twitter and the soundboard.
Banned from sound clips. Overkilled on sound clips last night.
Yeah.
Just wanted to clear it all up in case, because Jeff thought it was Katrina through pretty much the entire show, and he was getting creeped out. It was not Katrina. She does not moan like that.
That's fair.
I know.
Right.
Maybe. Well, never mind. Anyways. So, I have to tell you, today has been kind of crazy for me. I had an adventure at Lowe's, which I'll tell you about in a second. But this morning, I realized on the cable channel, they had the Sounds of the Season music channel. Do you have those out there, Music Choice, on your cable box?
Yes.
Well, I hit the Christmas music.
Uh-oh.
So
I
had it going in the daycare room and in the main living room, so it was like surround sound through the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started like taking out the Christmas stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Halloween it barely passed.
I know, I couldn't help it. I swore I was going to do it when I moved in so that, like, you know, we didn't have to drag everything upstairs and drag it back down because it was so close.
Right.
And there's so much, and it's such a huge house. I, like, just didn't want to get into it. But it totally got me in the spirit. I was, like, manic mode all day, like, super crazy excited. Like, I was, like, running around the house with a tablecloth around me, and the kids were all dancing and singing. It was crazy.
Aww, that sounds really sweet, though. I will say that.
Yeah, it was fun. But then I put the tablecloth on and went and bought a new one anyway, so it's whatever.
Right.
So, and my mother and I, you know, we're gearing up for Black Friday. I was, like, looking to see what ads are already have, like, peaked online, and there's been a few. And, you know, we were three-waying with Mike today because, you know, he doesn't really work at his job either. So.
Yeah, I work.
Yeah, okay. We spend more time on the phone than I swear you do work.
Yeah, I just had a very long drive. I had to drive from one end of the state to the other. I spent like 2 hours in the car today. I had to drive up to Boston, and then I had to drive down to Dudley, which is like Boston is on the ocean, and Dudley's down by Connecticut. So just different directions.
Wow.
So we like came up with a plan for Black Friday.
People are beeping at me and honking at me. But
well,
I
can't because you drive
it.
Like a crazy person. But we had a
bunch
of stuff. We've got some stuff in the works. We can't tell anybody what it is yet, but we're going to get to it by next
big
week.
Big show for Black Friday. I have this feeling.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen,
and
then I'll tell you what it is.
It does not involve Firecross or Ginger Snatches.
No, but it'd be pretty huge.
Are you serious? Because I don't know how big that show's going to be.
Okay, so I just got news. One of the things, like, Pam left in the house for us, because she left me a bunch of Christmas stuff, was this, like, 4-foot Santa Claus. It was, like, white. He's kind of creepy. I'll take a picture and put it online tonight. I told Joe, I went and whispered to him when I got home. I ran around the corner. I was like, Joe, you got to go get that and put it in the bathroom, because there's, like, this weird, the bathroom's huge. He put it up there, and my cousin was just upstairs screaming her head off. It did the job.
Oh, my gosh, I cannot believe you did that.
So, needless to say, this Santa Claus is going to be put all over the house. Like, I'm going to go put it in the closet.
Oh, God, don't scare the kids.
It's great. No, I'm not going to scare the kids, just the adults. So
only,
my mom and I were
only 21 and up.
Yeah, we were all excited, and we've been planning to, like, because all the Christmas stuff, well, most of it's out at, like, Lowe's, Home Depot, and whatever. So we decided to go look at Christmas stuff today. So we get to Lowe's, and we're, like, looking around the Christmas stuff, and they have, like, this just whatever, like, huge shelves that are, like, I don't know, 12 foot high, and they've got Christmas lights more than, you know, to light a whole city. So my mother's, like, way down the aisle, way ahead of me, and I'm up at the top. Well, all of a sudden, she comes charging back. And mind you, this woman's got a pacemaker, okay? Yeah. Like, she's got congestive heart failure. But, I mean, you'd never know it because the bitch can shop for, like, 14 hours in a row. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love her. So all of a sudden, she comes running down the aisle, and she can't speak, and she's, like, pointing back the other direction. She's like, and I'm thinking, like, you know, it's a great sale. Like, you know, she must have found something on sale. And in hindsight, now knowing what I know, she had a face of sheer terror. Because she's going, animal. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, they have birds in here all the time. Because it was kind of like the outdoor section, but it's enclosed off for the holiday stuff.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, it's a bird. She goes, no, it's black and white. It's black and white. She's like, we have skunk problems. So now I'm kind of like, what? And I'm like, where? She's like, on the shelf. It's like four shelves up. I mean, it was on a shelf that's taller than me, and I'm 6'1".
Wow.
So I'm like, what? So I run back down the aisle. I grab a tube of wrapping paper, you know, as a weapon, just in case this thing tries to attack me, and I got to tuck and roll out of here. So we go back down, because I'm like, there can't be a skunk in Lowe's. Meanwhile, I'm going back down the aisle. Joyce is trying to yell at the one worker that's in this part of the store. She's going, sir, employee, help, there's an animal. And he just keeps on walking. He goes outside. So she's going, hello, is there a Lowe's employee? Hello? Nobody's coming. So I keep trying down there, and it's a freaking cat.
A cat?
It was just chilling on top of the boxes, laying on the Christmas lights like it had business. And I actually sent a picture to our Facebook page and our Twitter account.
How did the cat get in the store?
So, wait, I'll get there. So, without missing a beat, I turn around and look at my mother, and I'm like, it must be Bring Your Pussy Day here at Lowe's. You know, like, what the hell? So, she starts losing her mind laughing. But the cat looks like it's a wild cat, you know? So, whatever. So we're, like, trying to get guys. She's, like, laughing hysterically, got tears rolling down her eyes. I start losing my mind laughing. We're, like, trying to get an employee.
Too, though. I'm not an animal person. Like, if I see an animal, I'm just like,
What got her was the fact that I was like, what is this, Bring a Pussy Day to Work? Or Bring a Pussy to Work Day? You know, like, she couldn't believe that, like, came out of her mouth. So she's, like, trying to tell Joe what I said, and she couldn't do it because she's laughing so hard. People are staring at us. They all think we're nuts.
Right.
So I go back to get a picture of this cat, and it's sitting down, whatever. I snap one picture, and it moves. So it goes to the back of the shelf. So I finally get one, barely, and the cat falls off the back of the shelf. I can see the cat going down, and it's, like, going around. I mean, and it's got a long way to fall. And the poor cat hits the ground. I hear its thud. I'm like, Kitty! So I'm, like, trying to, like, rip stuff off the shelves to get to the back to make sure the cat's still breathing because I see nothing moving. So I'm, like, ripping through their Christmas lights. I mean, it was really a situation. I'm like, Kitty down! And, you know, my mother's laughing even harder because I'm, like, being all dramatic because I kind of felt bad for the poor cat because it fell so far. Well, then all of a sudden, this cat goes booking ass out of the back of the shelf and behind another one, but it's limping. And my mother finally sees the guy. She's like, sir, there's a cat. There's a cat here. He's like, oh, yeah, I know.
After all that.
So my mother and I are now just kind of looking at each other. We're like, what do you mean you know? He's like, yeah, it won't. He's like, it won't leave. He's like, it goes outside to the garden section during the day, and then at night it comes in here.
Oh, my gosh. They just let him, just go ahead and let him make it.
Why you know, so, I mean, we were still losing our mind.
About calling the SPCA?
I don't know. I think they probably like it as a pet. I'm not sure that anybody can get near it. But
well,
it's like,
I think he's not hurting anyone, so what's the big deal?
Well, except, you know, Jesus, what if he gave my mother a heart attack?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then she was like, well, do you think I can get a gift card because I was so scared? I was like, well, you can go to the manager and try.
Right. That is hilarious.
I know the manager at that Lowe's. His name's Mark. He might have got a gift card out of him.
I don't know, but it was just too much, man. I mean, and then we're, like, walking out of the store, and we're in hysterics the whole way. Like, I can't breathe. You know, like, it's that hard kind of, like, giggle laugh, like, where you just, you're uncontrollable and it's ridiculous. I mean, everybody was staring. Joe's looking at us like we both lost our freaking mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was just priceless.
That's so funny.
And then we're like, no, there's a cat. There's a cat. And then everybody thinks we're even more crazy.
Right, of course. I have a cat in my house. Oh, my God. Oh, that's hilarious. What is that sound effect?
This is Jeff. Karen, this is before you were on the show. I'll have to play the whole thing for you. But to set this up, like, this was back when we first were on the air. It was towards the tail end of a Thursday show. We were just about to wrap up. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jeff starts yelling. I'll play this clip for you because everyone in the chat room loves this. This is, like, the most popular clip on Unscripted Radio.
Why is there a cat in my house? Oh, my God! It was obviously a cat in his house.
What the
house.
Hell? Oh, it gets
where
better.
Where did it come from?
And this is why it's called Unscripted Radio.
Man, I'm just sitting here trying to do a radio show and a cat just hauls ass through my house and it's like, meow! And it's like, moves and it's mine, and then it ran back towards the door. What the f***? Oh, I thought it was a raccoon at first.
I think it's Sonia.
I knew you were gay. I didn't realize that you were that. Can we take that clip and play it over and over tomorrow?
The animal just runs through your house?
Sonia, was that
came out of nowhere. I don't have no cats or no dogs, no nothing in the house. There's no pet rocks, nothing. I'm just chilling here on the couch.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
So, you know why that's funny? Because there's sheer terror in his voice.
There really is. The best part about this. Karen, this is the best part. We find out.
Really?
I don't know if it was later that night or the next day that
it was actually Jeff.
Oh, the next week or something. But I'm texting Joe, telling him how hilarious it is. He's like, yeah, I know. I was the one that left the cat in the house.
Oh my god. He did that to you. Was it a joke, or did he just think it was funny to let the cat in and it just ran in and went crazy? Oh my god. He set you up.
Totally
oh
did. Joe scored major points on that one.
No.
Oh,
majorly did. But the sad part is, Karen, the listeners keep requesting this clip. I'm going to have to dig up the unedited version. I bleeped out all the F words. But
right.
They keep requesting this clip. Like, please, play the cat clip. Play the cat clip.
Well, the sick thing is it actually kept going on. Like, Michael only took, like, the first couple minutes of it. I kept going.
Oh, he did. I know you. I know you, and I know you
did. I was truly traumatized.
I would have been too, though, because I'm telling you, I'm not an animal person. And if something invades my space, it would flip me out. Like, it would freak me out. Like, I remember one time we were, knocked out. Everyone in the house was asleep, and I was at my sister's house. And we're like, probably like 7 in the morning, and it's a weekend. So, you know, everybody's kind of sleeping in. Nobody had to get up for anything. And all of a sudden, I hear my sister, and she's, like, screaming, like, oh, my God, and crying, like crying to the point where she couldn't talk. Like, she was like a little kid, like she couldn't catch her breath. She was, like, flipping out. So all of us, me, my niece, my nephew, like, we fly out of the bed, and we run, like, to her, 'cause we think, I thought somebody was trying to kill her. Or I thought she saw, like, a dead body. Like, it was like, she was screaming.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've never heard anyone scream like this. And we run up to her, and she can't breathe. And we're like, what's wrong? What happened? And she was like, there was a rat.
What?
There was a rat on the trash can outside. And she was throwing the trash.
Oh.
And, like, she opened up the, you know how you have, like, a garbage can or whatever. She opens up the garbage can to throw the trash outside, and it was on top of the trash. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she said that it had jumped out, it jumped at her, and she, like, I mean, it freaked her out. And I was like, oh, my God, I think I would have had the same reaction. Like, I mean, she's outside, it's like 6 in the morning or, you know, 7 in the morning. You know,
yeah.
Going outside and it's cold and you're just throwing the trash away. You, I mean, and the rat jumps out. It's like, yeah. But it sounded just like death. But hers had tears. Like, add the tears.
Oh. Well, I think we've all had our, like, crazy animal encounters. For me, like, the actually, ironically, it's when I lived in New York City. And I had made it through, I only lived there for like 6 months, and I had made it through more than halfway without seeing any cockroaches. And luckily, there was a few in the apartment that I lived in towards the end, but they were small and they were only in the bathtub. They only tried crawling on you when you were in the shower. But I was at work, and I worked at 34th and Hale, right across the street from Macy's. And I'm walking down the hallway at work. And Karen, I swear to God, I'm headed towards into, like, the main office area from the break room. It's, like, a little hallway. And this big cockroach is, like, oh, my God. This thing had to been, well, I don't know, like, a good half a foot long.
Yeah.
Big.
They're
just
big
come,
in New York.
Yeah.
They're humidity.
Just comes waddling out of the break room. And I'm heading, like, right towards it, you know. Like, it crosses right in front of me. So I stop, like, dead standstill. Like, what the hell? Because I'd never seen nothing that big.
Right.
Don't you know that damn cockroach stops, turns its head at me, wiggles its antennas, and then kept on going.
like,
oh, hey,
that?
Buddy, what's up?
What's up?
I was like, what? And then the cleaning lady comes running out, yelling at it in Spanish, whacking it with a broom.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. No, like, I don't know what it is about New York and Texas. Like, any humid place, I think Florida, too, the bugs and the mice and everything is bigger. Like, it's just big and, like, scary and, like, oh. But, yeah, Jeff, I feel your pain, man. I would have freaked out if a freaking cat ran through my house.
Well, you know, like, I'm in the middle of doing a radio show, and all of a sudden, like, there's just, I didn't know what it was. Because it just ran through the house like it was panicking. And then, I really did think it was a raccoon at first.
I'm sure. Raccoon. Yeah, raccoon is bitches.
Well, we had them. Like, we had this one. I mean, it was so, I mean, it came up probably a good 2 feet when it stood up, if not higher. And, I mean, it could have carried away a baby. And this thing, like, we would pull up in our driveway, and there was, like, a little fence and then, like, our trash cans. But, like, the car door would, like, match where the trash cans were.
Mm-hmm.
And literally one day, there was a raccoon chilling on top of the trash can, going through my trash bag, eating stuff, looks at me, stops, goes back to eating, and just, like, you know, went about his business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh,
so, you know, it's very, you know, it's possible. And then there was one party. It was, like, out in the road. We were, like, throwing cat food to it, and it's sitting out there eating, and we were just taking pictures.
And you know what? They're not afraid. Raccoons are very, like, they're kind of arrogant, and they're very kind of like, what? Like, they're not afraid, and they will bite your ass.
Well, that's
this
raccoon
will
one.
Bite your ass.
He wasn't having no problem.
Can I ask Karen,
like,
do you
huh?
know this from experience? Did a raccoon bite you? Is that how you know?
No, but I mean, I live in Texas, and you know they've got coons, and they've got rats, and they've got every kind of thing. And my dad told me, he was like, never go by a raccoon because they will bite your ass. Like, we've gone, he goes hunting. And, like, you know, they'll go hunting and they're shooting everything, you know. And so
they go raccoon
said,
hunting down there?
They go
that
raccoon
is funny.
Hunting. But they go deer hunting, but they'll shoot the raccoons because the raccoons will be, like, viciously going after them. Like, they don't like anybody to invade their space, so they end up going raccoon hunting, too.
You picked the wrong tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a possum problem, too. And those things are nasty.
Oh, my God.
Bitches.
They look like big rats. Oh, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. We would always find them dead by our trash cans back in the hood.
Oh. Are you serious?
Well, then we had a raccoon.
You know,
I don't know. That's crazy.
Like, Jeff's old house, I swear, the amount of animals that came through that place, he could have had a zoo. I mean, he had squirrels in the attic, raccoons on the garbage cans, cats running through the front door.
Oh, not to mention the skunks, because I've told that story about the crazy cat lady. And then she's like, don't worry, I speak critter. I went, like, chasing after the skunk. Like, because it was, like, chilling on the sidewalk. It's, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I come downstairs. And, like, so we have a beer, and we're just chilling on the porch, and all of a sudden, here's this skunk come walking down the sidewalk. And he walks over to the side of the porch and goes underneath the porch. And it's just a wood porch, but I'm like, oh, here we go. So she goes down to the side where he walked through and is, like, looking for him. Well, meanwhile, he's come out the other end, and he's starting to come up the stairs towards me.
Oh, no!
I booked ass in the house and slammed the door on her.
And we were out there.
She spoke critter so well, that's why her ass was running down the street like somebody was throwing a shotgun with her name on it. I mean, it's just... Everybody was hauling ass.
Unbelievable. Well, we...
I don't think there was that kind of stuff.
Well, no, I mean, I don't imagine... Well, do they really have that many, like, wildlife animals in downtown L.A.? I mean, they even have squirrels.
Yeah.
No, they're dead from the smog.
Right? Surprisingly, they're not. They've got a lot. The crazy thing about L.A. is that you can go to any given place and you'll see you could potentially see a deer. And they're just, like, in the middle of nowhere because there's a lot of mountains and stuff, you know? So technically, they'll kind of come out and come down, and you'll hear about bobcats. There's a lot of
hell no.
You'll see a lot of coyotes. A lot of coyotes out here. There's definitely a lot of possums. Like, I've seen possums, and they just, they gross me out. But, yeah, I mean, L.A. is actually crazy. A friend of mine lived in Malibu, and she was renting a house, and you guys are going to fall to the ground. She was spending $10,000 a month for a beach house, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Holy crap.
Yes. $10,000 a month.
What does she do for a living,
and
does she want to be my partner?
Right, exactly. Her husband is like a producer. So anyways, they had more mice in this freaking $10,000 a month home than I've ever, like, and the guy, the exterminator, would come and, like, put traps, and they would catch, like, 5-6 mice. And the guy was like, it's Malibu. Like, Malibu has beach, and it has a lot of mountains and greenery, and he's like, I mean, you're living, this is their territory, and you're building homes here, so it is what it is. And I was like, I would be damned if I spend $10,000 a month and I have to, like, deal with mice? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
that's ridiculous.
Hell.
I mean, I can put
hell
up with
no.
a lot of different, like, animals and whatever, but when it comes to, and this probably goes back to, like, last night when we were talking about, like, OCD and cleanliness and whatever, I can't stand the thought of having, like, critters crawling on my kitchen counters or where I have food, or, like, crawling on my table where I eat, or even on my
and
couch.
You know,
like,
that they
ask will. Jeff. Like,
they
exactly. I mean, I've thank God the stink bug situation has resolved itself, and so is the centipede situation, because there was, like, a good 2 or 3 weeks a month ago that I was coming home and found 3 stink bugs, killed them, and I found a couple centipedes. I don't know where they came from, because, I mean, I don't have any food out in my house. Everything is in sealed containers. I don't keep open fruit on the counter, nothing. You know, so there's not like there's stuff around. The trash can has, like, a lid. It's always closed. I don't know, but that's the thing that freaks me out. Like, whatever, you have a cat. As long as your cat is trained not to be on your counter, I'm good. Like, my mom used to let her cats just sort of roam free throughout the entire house, including, like, on the kitchen counter. And it drives me nuts. I mean,
like, cats kind of do what they do, right? Or can you train them not to go on
counter? No, if you train them. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, if you get them when they're young, like when they're a kitten, and they get up on the counter or something and you shoot their ass with a water bottle, you do it enough times, eventually they're going to learn not to go on the counter, you know?
Right.
You can train them. I mean, like, I know people who have their cats trained they're not even allowed to go on the furniture.
Right.
Like, they just, I don't know what else they do, they just chill out on the floor. But, like, yeah, I mean, I used to have a cat, and I was all right with him going on the couch and stuff. I mean, you can't get too particular. If you have an animal, you can't treat him like a prisoner and expect him to sit
on my God, you loved that cat. That cat did whatever the hell he wants. He tried to sleep on my face and suffocate me. The hell with you and that damn cat.
You know what I love about the two of you is that one of you will tell a story, and then at the end of the story, it never fails. The other one will go, "Oh no, nah, yeah," like you'll like totally like throw each other under the bus.
No, trust me.
You're like,
I've been given
you're like,
thrown.
I was there.
Joe throws me under the bus every chance he can get.
Bullshit. I call your bullshit. Because you are numero uno, go three-way Amy and get that bitch on the phone. Because she will tell you all. The minute I leave Boston, Mike's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then I get up there and Amy's like, well, Mike said that you said blah, 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 blah. Mike throws us under the bus and will pit the two of us against each other so that we'll start fighting for his entertainment. Like, he is the devil.
I don't know whatever happened to Jeff and Amy. The first time they hung out, they were all good. The next time they came up here, I don't know if Jeff was just on the rag that week or what the deal is, but they were just not. I think it was the hurricane stress.
When I drive 5.5 hours to come see you and work on radio show stuff, I don't want to sit and listen to Geico shit for 3 hours. It's just
nobody here works for Geico. Nobody here works for Geico.
You'd get there and him and Amy would what? They would be talking
about work?
That's
all they would
do
is bitch about work. I'm like, motherfucker, I just drove 5.5 hours to see your ass and work on unscripted radio, and you're sitting here talking about your auto insurance claim. I don't give a shit. Let's talk about Tuesday at 9 p.m.
Okay, so do you and Amy clash, or was it just...
Well,
you
no,
know,
not really, but then come to find out, he was saying some shit to her, and Mike's always the one, he's like, yeah, she don't like you so much.
No! Oh, no.
Well, she doesn't.
And
she thinks you're a little bitter.
Here's the thing. I'm bitter because you two don't ever shut the fuck up. Like, she lives downstairs. If you two want to act like two little old ladies who go play bingo every Monday night, you do that on your own time. But when I drive 5.5 hours up there, I'm sorry. It's about me.
Oh, you know what? Jeff is just mad because half the time when he tries to call me and I'm at work and I don't pick up my phone, it's because I'm actually on the other line with Amy.
I don't care. I don't even care because
he's like, I've been friends way longer. I get first president.
I genuinely like, oh no, are you kidding me? This asshole. One night we're on the phone and like somebody beeped me in and then Amy beeped in with him. He literally sat on the phone with her. Well, I'm listening to the conversation, not acknowledging me, for 25 minutes. I sat there and waited. I actually had a beep, and it was some survey person. I took the survey, came back, and he's still on the phone with her.
Oh, my God.
You could have joined into the conversation.
Again, I'm sorry. Insurance claim are just not my forte.
Is Amy the friend that all they do is bitch about work, and it's like...
Well, no, it's Michael. And then when he gets drunk... You know, Michael acts out big and bad, like, well, I'm going to tell him I ain't going to do this. I mean, the two of them. And then they're just getting at it because, you know, she feels Michael doesn't do no work in the company, yet he was, like, the number one person or whatever for a month, which just blows everybody's mind because even I don't understand it because Michael is not a person that likes to do any more work than he has to. Like, he is not an overtime person. No, it's not his thing.
He's not the go above and beyond guy.
No.
Not them.
No.
Not
are you kidding?
No.
Karen, what you missed before the show last night is I was ready to start screaming at him because I'm like, we got to screen the calls. We got to screen the calls. It's Beaver Fever night. We've got to screen the calls. He's like, no. That's why I texted Allie like 10 minutes.
And so Allie was like, okay, I'll do it. And
yeah,
save
she was like, let me get out of bed. And Mike's like,
here's the thing. This one mouse over here thinks that when our interns quit, I automatically become the intern.
No, that's not the case. Listen, stop being an asshole. I'm trying to tell a story. No, I'm just kidding.
This is like the Mike and Jeff therapy session.
Look at he just has
we need
to
Jake
be...
Fentland on here.
Oh, Lord have mercy. So, Karen, who do you bicker with? Can we get him on the show?
I don't really bicker. Oh, you know what? I bicker with my friend Jennifer. For whatever reason, Jennifer and I, and then the crazy thing about it is we'll bicker, but we'll be saying the same thing, but just two different ways.
Well, let's call her
and
up
so,
and get her on the show.
I know.
Oh,
you know,
Lord.
I'll get her on the show. She'll totally call in, and she's a riot. Oh, my gosh. I think she's at work right now, but I will make sure the next time I come on that she's on the show. But this girl is hilarious. Like, we will literally, my other friend Brandy will be like, you're saying the same thing. Like, can you both just shut up? And we're like, no, no. Like, we're like, we literally will be like, we just, one of us just wants to be right. Like, we're just real strong personalities. It's the most hilarious thing. But we will be saying the same thing. But we want you to accept the way that I'm saying it, not the way she's saying it, the way I'm saying it.
Okay, see, that's a little extreme.
Dumb. Yeah, it's just dumb. It's just like...
I couldn't see you arguing with anybody. Like, you are just so... I don't know. Like, I just can't.
I'm a good arguer. I'm a Libra. Like, you're a Libra.
Yeah,
and we're
good
debaters. Yes. We are good debaters. Like, I can argue... I can out-argue any... I'm like the arguing champ. Because I get real, like, I stay calm. And so that immediately puts me, like, at the... You know,
now,
I
got that Guinea and Irish in me, that whole calm thing. I try. It don't always work out, especially when Michael pisses me off.
Not so much. He tends to go off the deep end.
You know I got attitude. So it's like, but the crazy thing is when someone's like, if someone's going crazy, I actually will go down, and then they, like, it makes them even madder because I'm very, like, intellectual, and then I'm like calm. It pisses them off.
I used to do that in retail all the time when I worked in customer service. They come back trying to do a return and they're all pissed off and yelling at you. You just stand there, act all calm and polite. Pisses them off even more. It's freaking hilarious.
Michael, you weren't all there calm and polite. You were calm and an asshole.
No.
See, this
I was
is what Michael tries to push over. Karen, I can't wait until you get out here so you can see this fool in action. Because he is so foul to these customers. How he ever kept a job in customer service is beyond me. Because he would be like, no. 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 I'm not doing it. No.
Point blank period. No negotiation.
Yeah.
No wiggle. Nothing.
I mean, and that's why I love him, though, because when he does that kind of stuff, like, as long as he's not doing it to me, I think he's a riot, because it cracks me up. So when he's calling and telling me a story about what he did, you know, I'm just, I mean, when we were kids, I mean, we would fight like cats and dogs. Like, we'd get on the four-wheeler, we'd fight over who was driving, and, like, we went down, like, to this one trail, and it was all muddy. And it's me and this girl that's, like, 2 years younger than us, and Mike, and they're in a wagon, I'm driving, we get stuck. Mike jumps out and books ass, okay? Her and I are, like, dragging this four-wheeler in a wagon out of, like, 3 feet of mud. I lost my shoe in the mud. I mean, it wasn't that bad. So we get out into the field. Well, Mike jumps off for a second, and we take off without him. So we turn around to come back and get him. He chucks a rock at my head the size of a shoe. Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
It hit me in the forehead.
Karen, he hit me so hard with that rock that I passed out over the steering wheel and then ran him over.
It was the size of a tennis ball.
I thought I had a concussion. He hit me so hard. Like, literally, I passed that over the steering wheel, and I picked my head up just enough time to feel the thuds and to see his shoe go flying.
Oh, my God!
His shoe is just flying through the air, and then his mic laid on the ground with tire tracks.
Oh, my God. What were you driving? What did you say you were driving?
A four-wheeler.
Oh, my God.
No, we were crazy. His father would bring home demos because he had, like, a four-wheeler shop and, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd think he'd learn after the first experience. He brings one home. We, like, crash it.
Oh, my God.
We, like, smash into each other, whatever. He brings another one home, and there was, like, this incline thing. Mike decides to be a show-off because there's this boy that he thought was cute there. Mike gets it halfway up the hill. It starts to tip back. Instead of Mike putting weight on the front, Mike jumps ass off the back.
The damn thing rolls over like 5 times and lands up. I mean, you know, he's just crazy. Like, Mike's not in it. It's dangerous. When we got into a car accident, he was out of the car before any of us even knew we hit a tree.
Oh, no.
Like, he had
I wasn't
going
to stick around to find out if the thing exploded.
I mean,
he's the
gas
guy.
He ripped the headrest off of the seat. Like, he didn't pull it out, he ripped it off.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
Like, we were nuts.
How old were you when you
I was in a hurry.
What, with the four-wheeler thing?
No,
with
how old were you when you met each other? Kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
Yeah.
Man, you guys have to
Yeah.
But, no, it was horrible because he would chase me around the playground saying he was going to marry me, and I would, like, freak out and I couldn't handle it. So the lunch ladies would be like, you go this way, you go that way. Bitches, we had a round playground.
They did that on purpose. They were fucking with y'all.
They were.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh,
they probably thought we were a freaking riot. But you know what else is a riot? Newsbreak.
Yeah.
We're going to come back, and then we're going to talk about Lindsay Lohan, because we got some dish for Lindsay Lohan. We got a dish, so.
I'm leaving.
We'll go to newsbreak and come right back.
Good evening. It's November 3rd, and this is Newsbreak. Well, tonight, the race of America's poorest poor have climbed to a record high. 1 in 15 people spread widely across metropolitan areas as the housing bust pushed many inner-city poor into suburbs and other outlying places and shriveled jobs and income. New census data paints a stark portrait of the nation's haves and have-nots. At a time when unemployment remains persistently high, it comes as a week before the government releases first-ever economic data that will show more Hispanic, elderly, and working-age poor have fallen into poverty. After being flooded with calls, faxes, and emails calling for action, a Texas judicial panel is investigating an internet video that shows a judge beating his teenage daughter with a belt. The State Commission on Judicial Conduct says in a statement released Thursday that it has commenced an investigation into the incident. Around the world tonight, activists are pressuring global leaders meeting for the Group of 20 summit to impose higher taxes on financial transactions in order to raise millions of dollars to fight poverty and deprivation around the world. Groups including Oxfam, the World Wildlife Foundation, and others organized events Thursday around the chic resort town of Cannes on France's Côte d'Azur to draw attention to the so-called Robin Hood tax on financial transactions. Multi-billionaire Microsoft founder Bill Gates joined the call, traveling to Cannes to urge G20 leaders to consider the tax and other innovative ways to help poor nations. For all these stories and so much, much more, be sure to visit our website. That's www.unscriptedradio.com. Jeff and Karen, back to you in the studio.
Great news break. Great news break.
Right? I think that's the best one he's ever had.
Best one.
Yeah, old.
I'm dying to hear about Lindsay Lohan. Tell me.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
You know what I realized?
Our mascot, huh?
Wait, that Katy Parrish girl that went to school with the Justin Bieber's baby mama was supposed to go in tonight.
Oh, ooh. Where is she?
I don't know.
Do you know so? Do you know
what happened to her?
Well, we'll hunt her down on Twitter. That's what we'll do.
We'll stalk her. We'll Facebook
stalk
her. All right. So
I like the one girl that called in last night and was like, you know, I kind of like stalk Justin Bieber. I was like, own it, girl, own it. But
I know, right?
Like
at least if you're gonna stalk somebody. Yeah, exactly. At least if you're gonna stalk somebody, own up to it. But
yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was like, first of all, his haircut is short, and you know, his haircut wasn't cut until this time. And I was like, wow, like she had her facts. I loved it. It was like the best. It was like, you know, SVU or something, but unscripted style.
Oh, absolutely. So Lindsay Lohan. Jeff's going to kill me because I'm going to talk about her again, but we just can't resist. So she had her hearing today. She
mm-hmm.
had her hearing today, and Lindsay Lohan admitted in court, well, actually it was yesterday, that she violated her probation by getting booted from her community service at the Los Angeles Women's Center. And as a result, she was slapped with a 30-day jail sentence. And the judge is really throwing the book at her as much as, like, you know, any celebrity could possibly get. Judge Stephanie Sautner told Lindsay she could end up with 300 days behind bars. She's on a strict schedule of community service deadlines and therapy appointments over the next several months. If she sticks to it, which Lord knows she won't, her
right.
sentence will only be the 30 days. If not, she gets the other 270 tacked on. Judge Sautner said, and quote, "This is known as putting the keys to the jail in the defendant's pocket. The first
wow.
time you violate, you will go to jail." She just went on to say that, you know, from what she could see, Lindsay really needs structure, and this is going to be the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Lindsay is going to be doing all of her community service at the morgue. She's done with the shelters because this is
yeah, they won't take her back.
I wish I could have. They won't. I wish I could have got the audio clip from Judge Sautner because this is hilarious. But she says she decided not to send Lindsay back to the shelter that booted her. And another shelter for homeless women actually refused to take her because she thinks she sets a bad example for women who are trying to get their lives back together. So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, she's got the judge gave her until November 9th to actually surrender and go to jail because apparently she has to have time to wrap up her Playboy shoot,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because she already did it, but I guess sources are claiming that Hugh Hefner wasn't happy with the photos that were taken last week and is hiring another photographer to do them over.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. That's too hilarious. Like, she can only be around dead people.
Pretty much.
Like,
pretty much. I mean,
I would not want to be at the morgue. I'd want to be anywhere but the morgue. Like, ooh. Like, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I just, you know, me personally, I would be freaked out by that. Just
yeah,
out.
Absolutely. And I mean, I guess the best part in the, like, I have to watch the TMZ video over and over again because it's hilarious because the judge at one point was like, "And they have an issue with you tweeting. Now I can't legally tell you not to tweet, but stop."
What?
And she said it like five times. She was like, I can't discourage you from cheating, but I recommend that you do. They don't like you tweeting about them, just stop."
Oh, she's tweeting about the place, like going, "Oh, this place
yeah.
sucks," or just
yeah,
like,
she's
oh,
tweeting.
Here,
yeah, she's tweeting about like the morgue. She's tweeting about the morgue, and apparently, in retaliation, the morgue is like holding press conferences about her. So
wow, it's just a mess. Like, it's such a mess, and I just
yeah,
I'm like, this girl.
It's a hot mess.
Wow, hot mess.
So, what do you guys think? Do you think that? I mean, I guess from everything that I understand, from what I heard the reports on the radio this morning, like, she will spend 30 days in jail. Like, the judge made it very clear, you're not going to be allowed to do this under house arrest. You're not going to be allowed to do this under electronic surveillance. You're going to jail. And then they had the sheriff from the women's correctional facility that she's going to be going to, which I believe is in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
actually came on and said, "Oh, we got plenty of room for her." So,
yeah.
Yeah. Should
yeah.
be interesting.
They
I mean, do you guys think she'll actually...
Days.
Yes, they made some space for her for the Christmas. But do you guys think she'll actually make it through her therapy and her stuff that she needs to get through in order to avoid getting 300 days in jail, or no?
I don't think she will. I think it's inevitable. I think she's going to have to go to jail for a minute. I mean, I hate to say it, but I really think that's what's going to make her, like, finally. I don't know. It's really sad. It seems like that's what she needs. She needs to learn a hard lesson. And right now, these little slaps on the, you know, slaps on the wrist are not cutting it. Definitely not cutting it.
I don't know. I think she's going to be out in 10 days again because overcrowding.
Yeah, well, no, they told her straight up. I mean, they said just period because of the way that the system works out here, that the most she'll do is 15 days, you know. And that's really the most anybody would do. But if she gets out in a couple hours, I'm going to be pissed. Like, if I were someone who was convicted for a similar crime in a similar amount of time and I had to do a week and she did one day, I would sue. I would sue Los Angeles and go, this ain't fair. Like, this is not fair. You guys are giving this girl stuff. I mean, really, I would sue because I think she's got special privileges all the way around. But they talked to the police chief and they were saying how she's not going to get special privileges. And, you know, he was like, by no means will she, you know, just serve a day or serve an hour. And so we shall see. They have him on the news and he was quoted. So hopefully, you know, I don't know. Hopefully she, you know, I think she'd be treated like every other criminal, you know, because if it were you or I, we would be under the jail.
I mean, at this point, if any one of us on this show,
are you kidding? Might be the ringleader
that she has done. Like, I mean, with the drinking, the drugs, the shoplifting, the not showing up for community service, we would all be in jail.
Yeah.
So like, not we wouldn't even forget about second chances or thirds and fourths. You know, I mean, because I know how regular, like, shoplifters, because I worked in retail for a while, and the stores that did prosecute, you went to jail.
Right.
And if it was, like, your first offense, and if it was a small little thing, yes, slap on the wrist, they'd let you go. But if you were a repeated shoplifter, you were down. I mean, you got the book thrown at you, like, maximum. Amazing. So the fact that they keep letting this girl, you know, off the hook, the only way she's ever going to get it is to serve, and maybe 30 days wouldn't even count it. Because didn't she go to jail before for like 10 days or some crap like that?
Yeah, she's done it before. I don't know.
She obviously
isn't
doing anything.
Obviously. I mean, and the sad part is she's been to rehab. Like, it's not even where you should say, oh, send her to rehab. Because she's done that, too. She's done three stints of rehab. Like, I mean, three
rehab
or four, I can't remember. Like, she can't, she's almost like, I mean, it's, I don't know. Like, it's almost one of those situations where this girl can't shake it, you know? It's just crazy.
No, I don't know what the deal is with her. I mean, it's like, I think Jeff said this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about her when all this stuff started breaking again with Lindsay Lohan.
What,
the
nobody
sad
cares?
Part of this, well, not that no one cares, but you said something to the effect of that she's going to be the next one in Hollywood to die, and that's the sad part in all of this.
Yeah, you see
that
it coming.
It's a train wreck. It's like, you know, Karen, you're up in a helicopter, Jeff, and you're looking down at two trains speeding head-on at each other. And absolutely, there's nothing you can do to stop it. You can throw on the brakes, you can delay it, but it's gonna happen.
Hold on. It was like watching Amy Winehouse. Everybody knew it was coming. You know, it's like what was the other one? That the Johnson era.
Anna Nicole.
Yeah, Anna Nicole was another one. The Johnson era. There, I can't remember what her name is though, but something Johnson. You know, like I remember just because at the time, like I was reading Perez. And it seems like, you know, there was constantly stories of all these messes. And the next thing you know, I'm like, watch. I'm like, in 2 weeks, they're going to be dead. Oh, Brittany Murphy. Excuse me.
Yeah, Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy, which, I mean, still to this day, I'm so devastated Happy Feet 2 is coming out, and she's not going to be in it. Like, that girl had so much talent. I mean, not that. But, you know, her life was spiraling, especially with that weird husband. Like, what the hell was up with that?
Yeah.
Like, did you see the picture of him, honey?
Yeah, that was
kind of
scary.
He fell out the ugly tree, hit every branch on the way down, and the thug fell on that SOB.
I just didn't understand.
Oh,
you realize what it was. Is that was her enabler. Like, he was the one who was probably getting her drugs and keeping her, you know, because prescription drugs, man, like, that's what I think her thing was. They never, what made me mad about the Brittany Murphy thing is they never really We never got clarification as to why she was so thin or what she was suffering from or, you know, was she addicted to, you know, prescription drugs or what was it?
Well, they found all those pills, and then dude ended up dying for the same reason or whatever.
That was creepy. Creepy.
Yeah, there was, oh, that's right, there was, what's-his-face from Brokeback Mountain, but I think that ended up being an accident.
No, I meant Brittany Murphy's husband. Ended up dying.
Wow.
Not even a year later, I don't think.
No, like months later. Yeah. So there was obviously you could look at her and see trouble, like troubled life. But no, I mean, I wanted to always figure out is she anorexic? What's going on with her? I mean, I didn't know what was going on with that poor girl.
Well, because if you like, I mean, I first met her or you know heard of her or whatever in Clueless. Like,
uh-huh.
She was not a rail thin girl.
No.
But I didn't think she was fat. Like, I thought, you know, she's an average sized girl.
She's normal.
Yeah.
She's healthy.
Yeah. And then the next time we see her, you know, she's bleach blonde and she looks like a rail.
And it's a different person. It's like, gosh, what happened? Like, it went bad real fast.
Yeah, like her personality even seemed to change.
Yeah.
But, you know, another one is Paula Abdul. Like, if you go back and you can find clips from the first season of American Idol, not once was she slurring. And
right.
As that show progressed over 10 years, or 9, or however long she was on there, I mean, at the end, like, I can't even stand to watch her anymore. Like, I could just get so pissed off. Like, why are you people letting her on TV? Like,
right.
When she, after we left American Idol or whatever, she's co-hosting The View, and you can see she's, like, biting her lips. Because she's so doped up on painkillers. You know, I've taken them. I used to take them for fun. I have a back that's horrible that goes out. I take painkillers when I absolutely have to because I hate taking them. And I know the side effects. And she's biting her teeth and she's trying not to slur frickin' words. Like, get her ass off the television.
So, tell me this. Does she act like that on The X Factor? Because I haven't really watched that show.
I don't think it's as bad as the last couple seasons as she was on American Idol. I think she's a little bit better, but I think she also realizes probably it's her last shot, you know? Like, if you screw... Because, I mean, it's just to the end of that. Like, she was just so bizarre.
She was. Like, she had...
Well, I wonder if
did you see her reality show?
I didn't see that, but I wonder how much of it with Idol.
Can I tell you?
She wasn't told to be like that. You know, like, they didn't, like, she obviously has an issue, but if they just didn't push it just to get the publicity and the
ratings. There's a medication issue there. Like, that, you don't have a delay like that for no reason. Like, all of a sudden your brain just doesn't wake up one day and decide, you're going to have a speech delay and be like, I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
Unless she's got some brain degenerative disease, which I guess could be possible, but, you know, why wouldn't you just say that and not have everybody think because you're popping the pills, sister?
Right.
You know, I understand she was a dancer. She's in pain. She's got issues. But it's like, get your shit together. You're on TV. You're making bank. And then she did that joke of a reality show, which was just so degrading to her. But I have to tell you, I was hooked like glue.
I know. Some people don't need a reality show because you don't really need to know the reality.
I mean, she's sitting there smelling the perfume things. And she's like on the ground. She's like squawking. Then she's going and selling the jewelry. And she's rapping about all this other crap. I mean, it was a nightmare. I'm like, where the hell are her PR people? And then she's, like, throwing a hissy fit with her personal assistants or whatever because they didn't get the right jeans for her to fly in or the right pants. And then she's like, I need something out of the soda machine or whatever. I don't have any money. Can you buy this for me? She's asking her, like, bodyguards and stuff. Can you buy this for me? Can you buy this for me? Throughout the whole show, it was sickening. Like, bitch, where is all your goddamn money?
Right, because she's paid. She's paid.
Employees buy your crap for you?
Yeah, that's lame.
I tell her to go shit in her hat.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. So hilarious.
Unbelievable. Well,
I know,
and we were supposed
really
to talk
sad.
About... Lego Man tonight. I guess we didn't get to Lego Man.
That's
no,
all right.
I like it sometimes when we just have a, yeah, just an us night.
An unscripted radio night where we're really just coming off, whatever pops in our brain.
We'll get to the Lego Man and we'll play the game next week. Hopefully we'll actually have a We've got to, like, get the collars up. We've got to get a good prize.
Yeah.
Going
yeah.
so we can do the giveaway.
Okay. You know, next, you know, we also need to talk about at some point is Kim freaking Kardashian. She's a train wreck.
Oh, this bitch.
Yes. Oh,
it,
man. Well, you got
her mother.
Oh.
Her is sitting there whining on television. She didn't make that much. She everybody's saying she made $20 million. She didn't make.
Paid.
You're right, bitch. She made $17 million. You're right. She didn't make 20. She only made 17. Poor baby. I feel so bad for her.
Yes. Like, trust me, that family doesn't do anything without making money. And it's funny, but it's almost like she exposed herself with this whole marriage thing.
Right.
Like, that she's just about reality. All she wants is attention. And, you know, he said it on that show where he was like, you just want a wedding and you can put any man in there. And she did.
Well, here's the thing. If she didn't have the wedding to get publicity and get her, the wedding paid for by the network, which her mother is saying it wasn't, and yada, yada, yada. Well, then why didn't you do it when you weren't taping the damn show?
Right.
If
and
you
why
weren't
didn't
you
have
going
to go...
for attention, because
yes.
you know everything for that damn wedding was comped. Maybe, you yes. know what I'm saying? Like, are you kidding? Hi, I'm in the Kardashians. I mean, just like, you know.
Right.
Well,
it was
give
like
me a
25,000 viewers, 25 million viewers or something crazy. And my
what?
Whole thing is why, yeah, it was crazy. The numbers were
what is
ridiculous.
Wrong with America?
Yeah, everyone watched it. And so then, on top of that, you go into, you don't have a honeymoon. You immediately go into taping, you know, Kim and Courtney take New York. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, it was like a wedding that was on TV. Now your first year. Like, I mean, I really respect your sister, Chloe, who said, we're not going to do a TV show. We're going to wait 1 year and have our marriage. And like they did, her and Lamar waited 1 year, had their marriage. And then they did their show. But she was like, we, you know, they offered us a show from the very beginning, but didn't do it.
Well, did you guys,
not 1 year for a show.
Did you guys hear what Kathy Lee said on the Today Show earlier?
No,
I think it was earlier this week. Kathy Lee went to the wedding, apparently, or she was at some sort
yeah,
of party.
She did.
And I believe, yes, and I believe it was Chloe that came by the table and said something to Kathy Lee, something about to the effect of, I give it effing 6 months. And Kathy Lee actually repeated that on the air, on the Today Show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what, though? That's and I, you know what? Everyone knew it. Even the mom on the wedding show was like, why are you guys sprinting to the altar? Like, why are
like,
we?
Didn't they know?
Were
they? Didn't they only know each other for, like, 30 days or something crazy like that?
No, they knew each other almost a year. But they
ooh,
had
really?
Dated, like, almost. But it wasn't. It was, like, 9 months. And then they were married. Like, they'd only dated, like, maybe 9 months. Like, it was really quick. I really feel sorry for the guy because he totally got caught up in the hype, you know? I think
oh,
he's going to get a book deal. He's going to get $1 million book deal, probably a spinoff show. Like, he's going to be fine.
He doesn't seem like
yeah,
the type, though. I think he probably really liked her, but he got caught up, like, in the whole, like, Hollywood thing. And
well, maybe we can get him on the show.
Yeah. I don't think she's taking enough heat, though. Like, people aren't giving it to her the way they should because it's pretty sad what they did to what she did. Like, I just think it's wrong. Like, you shouldn't make fun of the sanctity of marriage. Like, marriage is something people are fighting for. Like, they were saying, oh, my God, I read this on Facebook. They were like, you won't let gay marriage legal, but you will allow Kim Kardashian to get married and divorce within 2 months. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
right.
You talk about
absolutely.
Marriage and disrespecting the sanctity of marriage. What is this chick doing, you know? Like, and I was like, thank you. Like, it's just
absolutely.
Crazy.
But that about does it for us, guys. We're pretty much out of time. But we have a, I know.
Oh, wait,
sad.
We got one quick thing. We got to give a happy special birthday to me, too, our favorite girl, Michelle. It's her birthday today.
True.
It's also Rose Empire's birthday. Happy birthday, me, too. We love you. Thank you for always being a great listener.
Happy
and Johnny,
birthday.
We love you, too. And Jennifer.
Happy birthday. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
But we'll be back tomorrow night. Karen is with us. It's a happy hour special Friday show. And then we'll catch you all next week. Katrina will be back on Monday. Good times.
Yay!
Okay, what the hell is this?
I switched it up. I thought we were going into growing pains.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
That is right. It is Friday, November 15th, 2013. I am your host, James, a.k.a. Lips, and this is Lips on the Air. Whoop, whoop. What up, everybody? Tonight, I have the fabulous, the fantastic duo that they are. I have the fabulous, the incredibly awesome, the genius, the generous, the, I don't know what else to call her. She's just so absolutely amazing. Miss Jeannie.
Hello. I love these introductions. I say that every week, but I really do.
And on the other side of the microphone, we have the just as fabulous, the just as awesome, the slightly flaky, but it's okay.
No.
the genuine, the got sick at my house last weekend, Jasmine Hammond.
Oh, God. Hi. Nice. That was not very pleasant.
No, it wasn't. And it was funny because, okay, she starts, like, okay, I'm on the phone with my friend Caitlin, and she starts coughing, and she gets up, and I look at her, and I say, if you're going to throw up, at least make it to my bathroom, not knowing that she was actually going to get sick. And then I get off the phone. She hasn't come back yet, so I go, and I knock on the door, and she's like, yeah, don't come in here. It's not pretty. And I was like, okay, don't plan on it. Good to know. So,
no worries
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, how are we doing? How are we doing? TGIF, right?
Thank God. Yes. Oh my God, TGIF.
Mhm. I agree.
Yes, yes.
It's been a very long freaking week.
Yeah. It has been incredibly long, and every day seems really long now because of the whole daylight savings time thing and.
Oh, God, I know.
Like
when we changed clocks, and it's been like 2 weeks, but when we changed the clocks, it was like that Sunday felt like it drug on forever. I was ready to go to bed at like 6 o'clock. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, this day is just too fucking long.
Here. It's like 7. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, it's only 7? We think it's 9:30 then.
Right. Well, because you're not used to it getting dark so early, and I'm still getting used to it, and it sucks. I hate, like, why can't it just stay the same time all year round? Seriously, why do we have to change?
Right. There's reasons.
I mean,
because
even if we don't change, the sun still sets later, you know? I mean, the sun still comes up later than it's supposed to, and it still sets later, regardless of if we change the time or not. So I just
right.
don't get it. Why do it? Why? Why? What's the
Actually,
point?
Actually, from my understanding, it's because of farmers. Like, during the summer, it gives them more time to work outside.
That's part of it. That's more daylight hours. It's more daylight hours summer. But it really has, it's more about, like, the hours in the year and what we call a year. And, like, the Mayan calendar, that's where it all started. I actually watched a thing a long time ago on History Channel about it. And talked about how,
well,
like,
all I know is that there's 525,600 minutes in a year.
Oh,
only because of that one song.
Only
because of Rent. And that's the only reason.
That's
I remember doing the math after I heard that song. Like, is that true?
Yeah, I did it too. Like, I was like, really? Is that real? 525,600 minutes. But then I think about, like, the
400
the,
seconds of the day.
Yeah. Well, that Chris Allen song, mm-hmm. Live Like You're Dying, like, that entire chorus is talking about time.
Yeah.
And it's like there's 8,400 seconds in a day or something. Or no, 86,400 seconds in a day.
Yeah. The way he says it is different.
Yeah, it's the way that he says it that like that makes it a little confusing.
Yeah, but I mean,
yes,
I get
and,
it. We have to
and,
have so many hours in a year and so many days in a calendar year, and in order to do that, you have to cut back on the, like, that's what leap year and all that's for. But the daylight thing, I remember hearing, like, what Jasmine says, that it had to do with, like, having more hours in the summer months for the farmers to work in the daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, like, why do we have to lose an hour? Why do we have to lose an hour every summer? Like, I don't get it. I don't.
To even
I like that hour. I love that hour, and when we lose it, it just pisses me off. Like, I feel like I'm missing something, and it's usually sleep.
No, yes,
I'm like
sorry.
It's. I'm not a fan of it at all.
It's always the one
at
thing
all.
That everybody sacrifices is sleep.
Yeah.
It's easier to sacrifice sleep than your life or your job or your money or whatever you're working for.
It is. But then I fall asleep at work, and it's not good.
No.
No.
See, I've never done that, so.
I used to do it all the time
think?
At Converges. All the time. I used to, like, when it was, like, the morning, because I worked two morning shifts, so I have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would be literally sitting at my desk.
Shifts.
Oh, I'd be sitting at my desk, and I would be, like, dozing off. And then I'd get a call, and I'd have to like wake up like real quick. So yeah, but I did that. I did that at training at my current job. Like I was sitting there. It was because training was so boring.
No.
I would literally be sitting there, and I would just be. I'd start dozing. I'd just start nodding off.
Yeah.
I'm here.
I
what?
Still
huh?
Love that. I honestly am lucky enough that I don't really. Do that. I kind of sleep a little more than the average person.
Well, because you're also on painkillers and stuff because you broke your ass.
Yeah, I'm off work, so I get up at like noon and I go to bed at like 3 and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I go to bed when I want to and I get up when I want to and I go back to bed if I want to. It's great. And then if anybody gets in trouble, I'm in pain. Leave me alone.
So, question. So, are you getting paid for being off work due to being hurt?
No, because I didn't get hurt
at
work.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so I mean, I have Aflac, and they're paying my bills, but other than that...
Oh, okay.
That's how I'm getting by.
Well, that's good. You have I didn't know you had Aflac. That's awesome.
Well, it's actually through Chad's job, so it's like a supplemental... Because of a spousal thing, it's our whole family has it. So, like, if for some reason, with Mary being in the military, some reason, like, she gets hurt and the military doesn't cover it, our insurance then kicks in, and it's all one policy through Aflac. And then they, like, you know how they tell you which providers you can use and things like that. So everything from our life insurance to our insurance for medical, everything is all under Aflac.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's helpful. And they don't pay, I mean, they didn't pay a lot. They pay a supplement of what your income would be. But you have to, like, they contact the doctors and get your, you know, all that information. And, I mean, it's helpful. It definitely is helpful. I mean, being off work has sucked as far as that goes. But I like it, honestly. I think that I don't think I've lost as much as you would think. Because with being home and being able to cook dinner every night, make lunches, you know, set that stuff up for the kids, make breakfast, things like that. Like, that makes everything so much cheaper. It really does.
Right.
Cooking at home, I mean, we blow $60-$80 on a meal out because there's five of us, you know?
Right.
And that's like going to somewhere like Red Lobster or Olive Garden. And then even at, you know, a fast food place, it's $30 for everybody. And so it's expensive. So cooking at home, I've been able to buy, like, in bulk. And I kind of like it. you know, get on Pinterest, look up a recipe, and then make it. And I have the best kitchen in the world. I have this beautiful confection oven that is, I can cook like an entire cake in 15 minutes. It is the most amazing thing I've ever had. I absolutely love it. And so I don't mind cooking at all. I am fine with it.
Yeah.
I was so bored last week and had so much free time. I made homemade dog bones. Like, how desperate is that? Like, I had nothing to do. I was like, you mean to cook
homemade
dog bones?
Yes,
that's
I did.
But
hold
on. But at least you're not sitting there making gourmet dog treats.
True. I mean, I could have gone a little bit further than this, but there's a recall on dog bones, and so it was a big deal on TV, and it was a big deal around this area, and had a big list of them, and so I was like, well, which ones do we give them? And we had already dumped them, and we have, like, this cookie jar that's for dog bones, and so we just kind of dump them in there and pull them out, and so I was like, well, crap, like, what are we going to give them? And then I went and looked, and, like, all the ones that I wanted to get were on the list. So Lacey was like, why don't we just make them? I was like, there's no way you could just make dog bones. So I Googled it and found like 100 recipes instantly. So we actually used the insides of the pumpkins from carving pumpkins and made dog bones. Yeah, it was interesting.
Well, Jasmine,
they like them?
Jasmine, I just want to say, I just want to say, Jasmine, I love how you were in the chat room and then you just disappeared.
No, I'm still in there.
The chat room hates me. I can't get in the chat room.
I was in the chat room. My computer says I'm still in the chat room.
Well,
I'm gonna refresh
my
screen. Hold on.
I was in there.
I give up on the chat room stuff. I've tried so many times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Like, I have to say though, I love our loyal listeners, Johnny Dubell and Jennifer Mulholland and
Jennifer,
Bobby Butler.
You guys
and
are
Bobby
awesome.
Bobby Butler, I have no idea where you are tonight, but I have to say I'm a little angry. A little mad. Not going to lie. And Jennifer Mulholland, where did you go? I'm a little mad. Not going to lie.
I'm sure she's listening. Not
going to
lie.
So, James, I never got to tell you about my Thor experience.
Oh, your Thor.
So
no, you didn't. You went to Thor.
Oh, God. Okay, last weekend we went. And we saw it in the big, you know, the theater where they actually serve you alcoholic drinks, and it's like a reclining. It's very nice. It's very nice. We don't go to movies there very often. A friend of mine got a Groupon deal, you know, so I was like, okay, let's do this. So we go up there, and the movie was amazing. Okay, I have a huge thing for the guy. So honestly, I couldn't even tell you what the movie was really about other than how gorgeous he looked when he smiled. And, like, he's just amazingly beautiful. But,
it
was really good.
What are we talking about?
When we left the movie theater, there were people dressed up as Thor, but these are like grown men.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to try to post a picture so that our listeners can see this. This man is probably 400 pounds. He is probably 60 years old, and he is dressed like Thor, okay? The funny thing is he's carrying an actual genuine hammer, like really heavy sledgehammer. So he's dragging it behind him. Oh my God, we laughed so hard. It was hilarious looking at some of these
people. I think it's funny that they would let him in the movie with that.
Given
oh my
God, and he had
hammer.
Like a button
what is he
going to
do with it? It's not like he can start swinging it at people. It's too heavy.
He couldn't even lift it. Like that, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, he had like the mutton chops thing going on where they have like the hair like in the middle of their cheek, you know? Oh man, it is hilarious watching this guy dragging this thing, and he turns around, he's like pulling it, and then he turns back around, he's dragging it. It is so funny. I'll have to try to post it so everybody can see how it's just crazy. But I was going to say, with that being said, like, it's kind of crazy how people really get into these movies. I mean, you go see Twilight and you got people dressed as vampires, you know?
Yeah, like, you did.
It's crazy. The Joker, that was a really weird one. And then when I got home, I found out there was like that big, huge, like, bad thing that happened in the theater at the, you know, in the Joker movie or whatever.
When he shot up the premiere. Yeah.
People go crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. I totally believe it.
But
you know what?
I am obsessed with him. He's beautiful.
Chris Hemsworth, oh, God. I saw a picture of him, and I love him for his hair. I want him. I just
him
want
and
for his
Charlie.
Hair. I don't know what it is, but a guy with long hair straight hair, curly hair, you know, as long as it's well maintained, as long as it's well clapped, you know, well cleaned and all that stuff.
Yep.
All I want to do is just wrap, like just get my fingers up in it, you know, and just hold on with everything I have.
We're talking about his hair, right?
Yes. And just make out, like really, that's what I love, is like just getting a handful of the guy's hair while he's kissing me and just, oh yeah, I don't know what it is, but I love
you
it.
Are
I like
silly.
I like guys with long hair. I can't help it.
I do,
okay?
Too. I won't lie.
I do.
I mean, okay, Charlie in Sons of Anarchy, the guy who plays
mm-hmm.
Jax, he, okay, I went through and watched,
yes.
like, everything he's ever been in. I watched everything that
mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth was in. I just have a thing for
Hello?
For guys with the long blonde hair. And
Hello?
Yeah. And I have to say that in all these shows from the guy from
Hold
Sons
on,
of
hold
Anarchy,
on, hold on, hold on. Jasmine?
Whoa.
Jasmine, can you
yeah.
hear?
Yeah. Yeah, I can now. I can
okay.
hear. That's why I was like, hello.
Well, the guy from
y'all,
from
y'all just kind of like cut out for a second there.
Oh.
But the guy from Sons of Anarchy, what I was saying was he's been in a lot of other shows and movies and stuff, and he has the greatest accent, that British accent, okay? It is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Like, when he talks, I'm just like, oh, and then when he's on Sons of Anarchy, he doesn't have that, and it's just like, what the hell? Talk to me already.
Right. Right. Like, I love, okay, if you, honestly, accents, oh my God, accents are so sexy. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, I don't know what it is, but you could talk dirty to me in a British accent all you wanted, and I would be all over that shit, I'm just saying. Like, all over it. But you know what, it is 9:16 p.m. here in the Central
yeah,
Time Zone.
Maybe we
I don't
should
know
talk
what time
about
it is
that topic.
I don't know where what time it is where everyone else is, but all I know is that we're all, your three hosts are coming at you from the Central Time Zone, so it's 9. And we are going to jump into some of our topics. We need some music, really. We need some, like, we need to find some music that we can use for, like, cool transitions and whatnot. But, yeah, we're going to jump into our first topic of the evening. And it's basically the not-so-glamorous way, or not-so-glamorous place, that Jamie Lynn Spears discovered she was pregnant. Now, we all heard the
Whoa.
Story back in 2008 when Jamie Lynn Spears
yeah.
was 16 years old and on the cover of OK Magazine and said that she was pregnant. She was 16
yeah.
and pregnant. I really think this is where MTV got the idea for their reality show, 16 and Pregnant. But an article says it's been nearly 6 years since Jamie Lynn Spears' shocking pregnancy announcement at the age of 16. And after
oh
laying
God.
Low to raise her daughter, Maddie, who is now in kindergarten, the Zoe 101 star is speaking out about the moment when she discovered she was going to be a teen mom. She's quoted as saying, "One day, me and my friend were riding around in my mom's little convertible, and I had not been feeling well." Jamie Lynn, who is now 22, told E! News on Thursday, "I thought it was distress with work and all kinds of different things. My friend was like, why don't you just take a test?" And she was like, okay, I will.
So where
Jamie
were
Lynn,
they?
Who had her daughter, well, it's, I'm getting to that. Jamie Lynn, who had her daughter
okay.
with her then-boyfriend, Casey Aldridge, decided to take the test immediately, but she was in an unusual spot, a gas station bathroom.
Aye.
We were filling up with gas, so I went in the gas station and took the test.
Hey, I took my
positive.
First pregnancy test in a Subway, just saying.
What? Like a Subway bathroom? Oh, like Subway, the food place.
Like Subway,
yes.
the food place, the bathroom.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So that is the glamorous way that she found out she was going to have her little nugget. Now, Jamie Lynn, I think she did something smart. She kind of ducked away from Hollywood when she found out that she was pregnant.
A little
she
bit.
Said, I thought my next step was going to be doing the next thing in my career. This makes no sense. I don't understand it. And I was young. I decided I have to go home. I have to put up a big fence around me, and I have to raise my child. So she retreated from the spotlight to focus her attention on her child, who was born in June 2008. And she became, I mean, she did what was best for her at that point by just, you know, stepping away from the entertainment industry, stepping away from the spotlight. You know, she had enough attention with her, you know, with being 16 and pregnant and also finding out that her boyfriend was like 19 years old. And could have gone to jail for statutory rape and all that good stuff.
Wow, I did not know that.
I think
really?
She was
I
smart.
Totally knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
I know that they didn't announce who the dad was until after she was older, till it wasn't illegal anymore.
Mm. No, right? it was announced that he was like 19 when she was 16, or he was 18 when she got pregnant. But I guess the law in California is that you're of consenting age at 16. So because she lived in California doing her show, it wasn't considered statutory rape. But in Louisiana, which is her home state, which is where her driver's license and all that stuff is, it was considered statutory rape. So she could have been let go. Jeannie, what did you send me on Facebook?
Oh, it's not delicious.
Okay, so I met this guy.
He works at a strip club here in Texas, and I was telling you about him. And when we were talking about blonde-headed guys, I thought I might send you. The first one's one that I took, and the second one is one that he had done professionally. Tell me you don't want to come visit me now, buddy. Tell me you want to come visit me.
Oh, my God.
Are we going to get these in the chat room?
I don't know how to put them in the chat room. I don't know how to put them in the chat room because she's on me on Facebook.
And he does. Okay, in case you guys are interested in this, if you can put it in the chat room, his name's Axel, and he does literally romance covers for Alora's Cave. He actually does covers for romance novels.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And this dude's like the gay way, like right?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, my God, because I was going to say, if he's not, I'm going to be very pissed off.
No. According to the other guys, he is. But according to this one chick that I met, he's not. But honestly, he's a stripper. So she's paying, he's doing, whatever. So I think I'm pretty sure he's gay. I mean, just by the way he talks and everything, I'm pretty sure of it.
But you know what? You know what, though? Okay, I can say this. Just because the way they talk a certain way or they act a certain way honestly does not mean shit. Because I know one very flamboyant. I thought he was a flamer from the day I met him until I found out that he really liked girls. Like, thought he I still think he's gay, honestly, but he denies it left and right. And what's funny about him is that, like, his idea of the perfect woman is so far-fetched that I really do think he is gay. He just doesn't want to admit it. So he's like, oh, well, I like, you know, Colombian women who have, like, caramel skin complexion and nice big boobs and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, yes. And you being I mean this the kindest way possible, you being the little Jewish boy that you are, you will never attract a woman of that caliber. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, with this guy in particular, he's amazing. He's really nice. He's very down to earth and normal. But like all the pictures of him with anybody, it's always a guy, and he loves to do things that most people don't, like shopping. He'll call and just be like, I'm going to come to your work and just have coffee. I'm like, okay. And then he'll come and have, like, the girliest drinks ever. I don't know. I'm pretty sure of it. Like, and all the guys he works with they all say he is, and most of them are, too. And that's something that women don't understand is most of the time the guys, the Chippendales, the male strippers, they're most of the time they're gay. And that's why they do what they do.
Kind of gay.
It doesn't turn them on.
Right. So it's easier for them to make money because they can be all over somebody, and it's not really that big of a deal to them.
But going back to Jamie Lynn now,
she's also gearing up to start her own recording career. Over the last couple of years, she moved to Nashville, and she's been working on a country album. And it says, in between schoolwork and homework, Jamie Lynn has been quietly working to launch a recording career since she moved to Music City. Earlier this week, she got a big boost in her efforts when her hit-making sister released the track list for her upcoming album, Brittany Jean. Track number 9 on the list is called Chillin' With You, featuring, you guessed it, Jamie Lynn. Now, that's cool and all. And that actually takes us into our next topic. Britney Spears includes duet with sister Jamie Lynn on Britney Jean. Now, this was supposed to be apparently, like, it was talked about as being a huge surprise and all this other stuff. I don't necessarily think that it's really that much of a surprise. But it says, Britney Spears released the track list for her upcoming album, Britney Jean. Led by the debut single, Work Bitch, the album, out December 3rd, includes a collaboration with rapper T.I. for the song Tick Tick Boom, and a surprise appearance by Spears' younger sister, Jamie Lynn, for a song called Chillin' With You. Spears took to Twitter to celebrate the features on her 8th studio album. So beyond excited to have my baby sis, Jamie Lynn, on the album. Heart, 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 and T.I.P., my homie.
No.
Did you watch the video? Did you watch her new video?
Her new video? Which one? For Work Bitch or for you, Perfume?
Yeah, for Work Bitch.
I have seen it. Okay, honestly, I don't understand the concept at all.
I don't either,
really,
but man,
sense.
She really looks good, don't she?
I know.
Like,
I was watching this video on YouTube. A YouTuber that I follow, her name's Hannah Hart. She does a show on YouTube called My Drunk Kitchen. She, on her second channel, did a first reaction review of Britney Spears' Work Bitch. And she's like, "What?" Throughout the whole thing, like, she's getting into it because she's the biggest lesbian I think I've ever met. And she's like, really getting into it. And she's like, my only question is, how did they computerly enhance Britney Spears to look like 1990s Britney Spears?
Because
she looked
they
really good.
Didn't.
Like, she looked amazing
yeah,
in that video.
I mean, she's probably worked it.
Well, where's the song? Work it, bitch. Like, if you want to work it, bitch, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's the truth behind it. I think she looks amazing. And I was kind of surprised. I mean, it's very traditional Britney. It's so right on lines with what I would expect her to do. But, you know, she made that big public statement about doing things that her kids could see, and the big deal about how she wanted, you know, she did the Smurfs thing and all that, and I didn't expect her to go back down that road.
Right.
I kind of expected her to stay a little bit more low-key and not so sexy and racy, but that's what she is, you know? I mean, that reminded me, a lot of the movies reminded me of Slave for You.
Yeah.
A lot of it was very familiar.
Okay, well, Blog Talk Radio must be experiencing some issues because I just got kicked out of the chat room. That could probably explain what's going on. Oh, Bobby Butler is here. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, I didn't
see
know if
you.
You've seen that. Yeah, he's here.
I see you, Bobby. But anyways, reading this track list for her album, you can always tell that it's like, her track list never really makes sense to me. They always sound like something a 13-year-old girl would do, like a 13, 14-year-old girl would do. Because,
she never
listen to this track list, okay? I'm going to more than likely love this album, because I love everything Britney Spears does, but...
This is number 8, right?
The first track on the album is called Alien. There's a song called It Should Be Easy, featuring Will.i.am. Tick, tick, boom. Till It's Gone. Passenger. And Don't Cry. Make up half of the 10 songs on the standard edition of this album. Now, the deluxe edition tracks... Wow. Now That I Found You, Perfume, The Dreaming Mix, and Brightest Morning Star.
I don't understand why people like to overcomplicate titles anyways. Like, I mean...
Well, okay. Brightest Morning Star.
He does sound very 15-year-old girl, but I don't get why people... Why did they name songs that have nothing to do with the title? Those songs bother me. When you find a song you like, and you're singing in your head, you're, like, trying to find the name of it, and you're like, what the hell? And everything logical just isn't right. And everything, finally it's like, what was the one by Panic at the Disco, or Lying is the Girl's Best Friend, or something like that?
Lying is the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off.
Yes.
Right, and I was just like, wow, where does that come in line in the song?
Well, that's Panic at the Disco and that's Fall Out Boy. Those two bands are notorious.
I write sins, not tragedies. Our lawyer made us change the name of this song so that we don't get sued.
Yep.
Like, I have to admit, a lot of it's genius, if you think about it. Because Because it's a standout song to you. It's really a standout song to you, though, because you're like, they're like, oh, what's the song called? And it's like, and you're like, oh, the song's called Our Lawyers Made Us Change the Name of the Song So We Don't Get Sued.
Yeah.
And it was previously called Britney Spears is a Whore. You know, you never know. I don't know.
That's funny.
Anyway, but speaking of Britney, but also staying more on the Britney topic, Britney Spears is getting up close and personal in her new TV documentary, I Am Britney Jean, which focuses on the singer's personal and creative struggles as she prepares for her two-year residency in Las Vegas. Now, my whole thing about Britney Spears, my whole thing about Britney Spears is Las Vegas residency is that she's doing it for 2 years, and she's doing a grand total of 100 shows.
No, it's 50.
Okay,
50
shows.
25 a year. And it's not actually 25 a
year.
There's actually like four in 1 month at one point, and then she has 2 months off. So the
right.
whole purpose of it
so,
was she wanted to be able to localize to raise her kids, right?
Right. So my thing is that if you're going to do a Las Vegas residency like that, don't you want to do it like the way Celine Dion did, the way Cher did, the way Elton John did it, the way Shania Twain's currently doing it, where
what,
you're
doing
like,
doing
you're not just doing 25
time?
Shows. There's 365 days in a year, and you're doing 25 shows. Really?
Yeah.
Like, on a regular tour. On a regular, but if you think about it, on a regular tour.
I think she completely deserves the time off. And she's trying to do this thing with her kids where she's actually a part of their life. And, I mean, she was talking about with what ages they are and everything. I mean,
yeah, they're like, what?
Okay. And I can understand that. I can understand that. 97? But if you could, I'm just saying, you could do 75 shows and still do something. Because I mean, think about
but
a concert.
But she doesn't
tour.
Get paid
like,
per show. She gets paid for the whole contract of the whole deal. So whether she does 10 shows or 100 shows, she's still getting paid. So of course she's not gonna. I mean, this gives her time to. But she has a contract. She's not supposed to do anything else outside of this, and there's like provisions for special events like award shows, things like that, but she's not actually supposed to do concerts anywhere else while she's doing the residency.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing it at the Hollywood, that's what I don't get about it. Why not go to like the MGM Grand or something big? You know,
right.
Where she's doing it has one of the smallest auditoriums around.
Well, and a lot of that though could do with the fact that her last tour, the Femme Fatale tour, did not do as well as they expected it to do. And she was lucky if she was selling like 8,000 tickets to her Femme Fatale tour.
Really?
I thought that tour sold out.
No.
I didn't know that.
It was that tour. They scaled it down a lot because of how underwhelming the ticket sales were. I mean, it'll say on Wikipedia and all that stuff that the show sold out, but the only reason the show sold out was because they stopped selling tickets after a certain point.
Well, that's
like
I know that the pre-sales have a lot to do with it, because a lot of times they'll do shows out here in Dallas, and it'll be announced, and then it'll be canceled, depending on how much pre-sale, you know, pre-sale that they have. But the Dr. Pepper Theater here is one of the bigger ones, and they, I mean, Drake was the only one that sold out in the last year here. Drake and George Strait.
Yeah.
That's been about it.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you know, Britney's done whirlwind tours, you know, and honestly, I've watched the Femme Fatale tour because I have the DVD. I watched the concert special and all that stuff when it was on. And so I've seen it. But I personally, like, the first time I watched it, I was really disappointed in it. And it wasn't because, you know, she lip-synced the whole time. I think you kind of expect that with Britney Spears. But I think what upset me the most about the tour was that it really, I mean, she walked through her choreography. The girl never broke a sweat. Like, she did not, she basically made it out like she was just there doing the motions. She didn't really engage with the audience. She didn't do much of anything. So to lip sync that entire performance really made no sense to me, because it's like you're not doing anything on stage. You're walking around. You're barely dancing. You're barely doing anything. The least you could do is actually sing.
The choreographers and stuff for this new show in Vegas, though, they say it's going to be like a full-blown show. Like when she did Circus,
where they had acts and animals and you know, pyrotechnics and stuff like that. So it's going to be more than just that.
Plus, well, yeah, and reports have been said, and there have been a lot of reports that she's actually supposed to be singing, doing the show 90%, like 90% of the show is supposed to be live. Like, it's supposed to be her.
Like, there's four songs that she can't, that, and in the thing it said that her people basically said that she cannot physically dance to the expected level of entertainment and sing at the same time on some of these songs. So some of them they have dubbed her over.
Right. It says there might be some numbers where she's full out dancing with the track underneath her, but there won't be any lip syncing around the board on anything. And I like that they've actually finally addressed it. You know, that they've addressed after, you know, 12, 15 years of her career, that they've finally addressed that she's been lip syncing this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no,
she did on SNL and got caught. She got caught on SNL.
I remember this. I remember it because I saw it. It was a gag that she was doing where it was part of her monologue. She said, and she was addressing some rumors like about her boobs being fake. And
that was funny.
They started moving.
Yep.
And then she said, and people saying that I lip synced at the Grammy Awards. And then they start playing this voiceover that she did. And it's funny. Like, that was all in good fun. But when she did SNL, like when she sang her songs on SNL, the two times that she was on there, she actually sang them live. And what's funny is you can always tell older performances. When you can tell a lot of her older performances, because when she would sing live, she barely did any kind of dance movement, anything. Like, and if she did, it was very light. It was very breezy. It was very easy. It wasn't, you know, the full out stuff that she does on tour. So, and I noticed, and I think my biggest problem is that I pay too much attention to it, because when I watch Britney Spears videos, like, I watch her videos, and I'm watching, like, the Work Bitch video, for instance. I was watching that video, and as I'm watching the choreography, I'm thinking, okay, really? The choreography could have been a lot better. Her execution of it could have been a lot better. Like, the circus, the choreography for Circus was, like, 10 times better than the choreography in Work Bitch.
Oh, yeah, I agree completely. But it reminded me a lot of The Slave for You, the way that she moved, what she wore.
Mm-hmm.
And she really likes those, like, cut-off, slit-up shorts, don't she? Like, I mean, I don't know. One of my favorite songs that she did was when she was on that phase where she, a lot of her videos at the time looked like they were homemade almost. Mm-hmm. But uh-huh. She's the one where it's talking about Britney's on the magazines, you know, basically, like, fuck you. Yes. And
yeah,
I like
that. I love that song.
I thought that was a big statement that she made, and it was like, screw you people, I'm a real person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I thought that was awesome the way that she did that.
Right. Well, we're not going to stay on Britney much longer, but I do want to talk about, she does her new song. Okay.
Okay, so how much do you think her tour, the Femme Fatale, whatever, How much do you think that tour racked in?
She ranked in a pretty penny for that. I'm going to say the upwards of, like, 30 million.
I'd say 50
Double
million.
Double that. 68.7.
Okay.
For that
That's
tour.
Not bad.
For that one. And then...
That's not bad.
Apparently
but
she
think about
did
this.
A follow... Hold on. And then she did a follow-up tour... And, if I can find it, give me 2 seconds, because I was just on it, and now, and she did a, what did they call it? I think it was called just, like, a follow-up, like a supporting tour. Now, oh, never mind. Okay. Yeah.
She hasn't done a tour since Femme Fatale, just saying. But we're gonna kind of jump on to that. What I want to do, though, is I want your guys' opinion. If you haven't yet, and I know some of you may not want to, but if you could go over and take a listen to Britney Spears' new song, Perfume. It is the first time in a long time that you're actually hearing her voice and it not be drenched in auto-tune.
Really?
I really think that this, like, I think vocally it's her best song. Lyrically, I think it sucks. And that's saying a lot given that how much I love Britney. Lyrically,
right.
I think it sucks. But vocally, I really think that it's one of her best songs in, like, the last decade. So if y'all want to check it out, it's called Perfume. Definitely go check it out. Let us know what you think on our Facebook page, facebook.com/lipsontheair. We only got 20 minutes left, and we have a few more topics that we need to get to. Did y'all hear about Jessica Biel stealing the spotlight from her husband Justin Timberlake? Probably not, because I think I sent you guys. I never sent you guys the link to that. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
I googled it because I was like, Justin, what? And then what it did was it was the same link as the Justin Timberlake's A Whiny Bitch.
No, it was the Britney Spears
and Chris
duet. It takes you back to Britney Spears includes duet with sister Jamie Lynn. So, yeah, I don't really know this article right now because I can't remember. I don't remember what happened. So if you know what happened, Jeannie, take it over.
Now, if we're going to talk about any of them, I want to talk about the Kardashians, and they're stupid people. They're so stupid.
Well, then why are we talking about them?
Because
I don't want to talk about them.
They're make-believe Christmas. The Kardashian Christmas special is missing Kanye West and Lamar Odom. Now, here's the thing about the Kardashians. Every aspect of their life is so fake. Okay?
Oh, yeah,
Christmas came very early for the Kardashian-Jenner family this year as they filmed scenes for their upcoming holiday special way back in the middle of September. In a preview for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, A Very Merry Christmas, the whole family gathered together to unwrap fake presents and share previously unreleased family video with their fans.
They actually built a set to look like the house. So it wasn't done in the house.
Yeah.
It was a set that was built out basically outside of the home, decorated for Christmas. And they pretended. Well, the whole thing is fake and pretended. Okay, I get that their whole life is fake anyway. But why would you do this 3 months before Christmas? You got somebody pregnant who's already had a baby. It's so noticeable.
Right.
I mean, that would be us pre-taping a year in advance, and talking about Father's Day on St. Patrick's Day. That's unreal. And they're so fake. I hate these people. I see so many things in magazines and on TV. And, what really gets me is, do you know what really launched it for them? A sex tape. That's what it took.
Tell us how you really feel.
You are really tripping right now.
This is
over
a personal thing for me because I have a daughter who's 16 who looks at these women in TV and on magazines and she wants to look like them. And I'm having to make her eat sometimes.
Has she said that she wants to look like the Kardashians?
She said that Kim Kardashian has the best body and her face and her hair and her makeup and the smoky eye on a 16-year-old girl to go to school at 5 in the morning.
You need to introduce your daughter to
it's
some
not
real
just my
actors
kid, though.
And actresses.
Kid. It's every teenage girl, and they don't understand that these women are airbrushed and they're plastic and there's millions of dollars in surgeries. And
they're always
going to
be there. Just explain to her that that's exactly what it is. Airbrushed, fake shit.
Right, but a lot of people don't realize that.
And Jeannie, I love your opinion. I do. I completely agree with you. I do not like the Kardashians as much as Jeannie does. Like, I cannot stand them.
Right.
I hate that they're famous. I really hate that they're famous for the fact that Kim sucked Ray J's dick and fucked him.
She was a household name before that.
She wasn't.
I know about the Kardashians before that happened.
And the only reason you did was because of the whole family in general and the fact that, the dad represented O.J. Simpson. Of course, they were still around in high society. They were
and Brody, in pictures. And Brody was on, and Brody was on Laguna Beach
the
or
thing,
the O.C.
That's
or whatever
right.
it was
that's
on MTV.
Up.
Right.
But here's
so,
the
I mean,
thing
you
about
knew
this.
Who they were, but they weren't. They didn't have five shows on TV on different channels all damn day long. They weren't every
and
magazine
and her,
I pick up.
And her going down on some dudes isn't the reason why they do now. The reason why
every
they do now
magazine.
Is because they own their own business and they actually make their own. Like, if I'm not mistaken, they have their own clothing store that is actually doing well. What?
It's the only thing
they,
I can think of to play.
I don't know. My whole thing on it is they might be making their own money now, but they're making it off of people's insecurities and off of stupid, I mean, like you said, Jimmy, they're all fake.
They
everything
make clothes.
From the waking up, no, not just that. They don't make clothes. Not one of them ever
they
stepped in a factory. Not one of them designed that shit. They looked at stuff other people did and picked what they wanted. They have
sure,
no
I'm
talent.
I'm pretty sure one of them designs it.
I think one of them does.
Totally did not mean to spark this debate about the Kardashians. Only thing I wanted to say.
I'm not saying that they need to be a freaking role model, but I do think people.
But they should be. That's the thing. They're in the limelight.
They get too
into
their feelings about it.
Like,
they're
in the public light.
You have to. Yeah, and then, I mean, that's just something we can't help that. So, I mean,
no,
the way that you help it is by explaining to your daughter
give people
who's a real
power.
Role model. Oh, my gosh.
I just don't think that society should give people that kind of power when they have nothing good to offer. Have you
and
ever
you know
watched
what?
Any of their shit? They can't even say a sentence that makes sense. Or grammar
and
can
I agree.
Be correct. I mean, they're idiots.
And I agree. Anyways. I completely agree. And the clips also show that Bruce and Chris are still acting like they're very much together, as their split has never been discussed on the show, and they wouldn't go public with their separation for more than a month after the special was shot.
They can't.
Okay. So now we're done with the Kardashians. We're so done with the Kardashians, I don't want to fucking talk about them anymore. I cannot stand them. But
I
you know
them.
Who's getting desperate?
I hate everything
you know who's really... But you know who's getting desperate? You know who's really getting desperate? MTV is getting desperate. MTV shakes up season 29 of The Real World to add exes and a new title. Yes, MTV is shaking up The Real World. I used to watch it. I used to like it. My favorite season of The Real World. But my favorite season of The Real World is Real World Seattle. I don't know why I like that one. But Real World Seattle, I think it was like 96, 97. It was the first time I'd ever really watched like reality TV. And I loved that season. Like that was my favorite. That's a bit that will always be my favorite season of The Real World. And then I kind of watched a little bit as the show kind of progressed. But TV is shaking up The Real World for season 29.
Go ahead.
Let me read the article first and then we'll talk about it. MTV is taking up The Real World for season 29. According to Entertainment Weekly, season 29 will be set in San Francisco and see a major format change with the addition of exes. Oh, wait. There's a new subtitle, too. It's now Real World Explosion. Seven strangers will still move in together, but after a month into their three-month time in San Francisco, they'll go on a trip and return to find their exes have moved into the house as well. When The Real World went on the air in 1992,
they had no idea.
Right. When The Real World went on air in 1992, you put seven diverse people together and you get conflict. And out of that conflict would come change. And then you have a story, series creator Jonathan Murray told Entertainment Weekly. Now that it's 21 years old or so later, maybe we're a bit of a victim of our own success. Diversity is a fact of life today. A lot of young people date people of different races or have friends who are gay. The world has changed. We've had conversations with the network throughout 28 seasons of the show, but we've never made this big of a commitment to change. For casting, Murray said they looked for singles who have interesting relationships with their exes. When we talk about the age of our cast, their ex is often their first love, and they play a huge role in their life. Five of the seven exes agreed to move into the house. So my question is, how desperate could MTV get that they're now including exes into the real world? Because granted, you know, I understand,
it is the real world, and they are in the real world.
But here's the thing. The real world is so much, like, okay, the real world is so much different than MTV's real world. Because if you think about it, seven strangers pick to live in one house. They're given a job. They're given money. They're given a big, beautiful house that's got hot tubs and kitchens and everything. It is seriously a fantasy. And honestly, you go on the real world and it's like a vacation. I would love to do that
Pretty much.
I would absolutely love doing that show. But I don't feel like this is the best thing for them to do. Because now, not only are you... Because, okay, exes, when you're in relationships in the real world and you break up with your ex, you don't still live with them. You don't have to spend time with them on a regular basis.
No.
I think doing this, all it's doing is going to create an even bigger conflict than the show originally had and than the show originally needed. And it's just going to be, it's going to blow up in their face. Like, talk about explosion. It's going to blow up in their face, and it's not going to be good.
Well, the season, I'm sure, is already finished being taped, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, okay, the thing about the real world is, honestly, I remember watching it a little bit when I was in high school, like passing or whatever on TV when I would leave the TV on and it would go from videos to whatever. But the truth is I never really got into the real world. I mean, I remember it being a big deal and not really caring too much about it at that point, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never got into it. But I know that a lot of stuff is spawned from it. I mean, look at what we have now, reality TV everywhere you look.
Well, I love how, like, I liked how when MTV created the real world and they did Road Rules, and after a couple of years, they did, like, the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Yeah,
like,
I thought that was cool. Yeah.
The first one, I really enjoyed that. And then the Challenge 2000, I thought that was cool. When they took it to make, you know, Real World Battle of the Sexes and, like, Fresh Meat and all that stuff and Revenge of whatever, like, I think they really took it too far with putting – and you don't even hear about Road Rules anymore. Like, that show is not even on anymore. They haven't done a new season of Road Rules since, I believe, 2001. And they're still calling it the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Like, I think they've done Road Rules. Like, I think they had one, like, my senior year. Oh, wait, I'm pretty sure they had a Road Rules that was taped that year.
They haven't done Road Rules in forever. If they brought it back, but if they brought it back, I'd do it. I'd try out for it. I'd audition. I would love to audition for the Real World. I really think that the Real World would be. Oh my gosh, I don't know how. Okay, I say that I would audition for that show, and if I actually got selected, I don't think I'd be as outrageous as I'd want to be. Because I'd have to remember, my family could watch this.
Right, exactly.
My mom could see this.
I feel like I'd get all paranoid, too. But the thing about it is you forget, guaranteed you forget you're being watched by cameras 24/7.
I forget sometimes you're being recorded.
because you're still living your life day to day. Like, after the first week or so, you forget that you're on freaking camera and you start doing stuff that you're like, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't do that because I'm being taped right now. Like, it's there in the back of your mind, but guaranteed, like, one day you'll be freaking eating and then, like, or something stupid and, I don't know, you get up to go do something and it's not something that you would do in front of cameras, but there you go. I don't know, something stupid. I don't know. But, I mean,
We only have a few more minutes left in the show for tonight. And something that I saw that just really kind of caught me off guard, I guess, at first, was a story on Billboard.com. Avril Lavigne and Derek Wimbley. Okay.
I didn't even know he took her name.
I didn't either. It says, talk about a delay. Sum 41 frontman Derek Wimbley took Avril Lavigne's name when they were married, something that went under the radar during their 4 years of marriage. Now, 3 years after the divorce was finalized, the singer has finally filed a petition to have his ex-wife's name dropped. According to the report, Derek James Lavigne Wembley filed legal documents in LA County Court late last week to go back to his birth name of Derek James Wembley. Wembley and Lavigne married in 2006. with Levine filing for divorce in 2009, their divorce was finalized in late 2010. And this past summer, Levine married Nickelback's Chad Kroeger.
Okay, well, I looked this up, and she's actually the one that insisted on him taking her name. She's the one that made a huge deal about it and how she wasn't going to change her name, that she was more established than he was because he wasn't a big deal, that kind of thing. So I had to look it up because I didn't know it was done, but Chad Kroeger, apparently there wasn't an issue there at all, and from what I could read, like, they're big-time partiers, both of them. Like, drunken parties the last weeks, and neither one of them can remember anything, like, craziness, crazy lifestyle. Which, I mean, everybody knew Chad Kroeger had that going on. That was kind of what he was known for. But it's insane. I couldn't believe that. And honestly, you know, I've always liked Avril Lavigne. I've always thought she had, like, this punk, this, you know, real cutesy thing about it. And I realized she was my age. And I was like, what the hell? Like, how's that possible?
Yeah.
She didn't know she was, like, almost...
I thought she was I thought she was like 21. Like, because she's been around a while.
I was
like, maybe that ain't right.
She was 21 back when I was in high school. Like, freaking, because I've been out for like, what, 5 years now? 4 years, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And she was 21, I think. Oh, shit. When was that? I want to say around my freshman year. She was, in her early 20s, late middle school, early high school.
I love Avril Lavigne, though. I do.
I do, too. I like her
music.
That's a little
cocky of her. That's actually very cocky of her.
Oh, yeah. It's a little cocky of her. But think about it as Avril Lavigne.
I mean, honestly, ask yourself, if you were in that situation, would you not do the same? Would it not matter to you?
No, it wouldn't.
I mean, that's like,
honestly, I would gladly take
Jay-Z buying out the entire hospital because he can so that she can have her baby. Like, you know, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, if you could do it, you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you let her have her baby?
Do what?
What did you say? You said somebody
said
did some.
Jay-Z rented out the entire hospital to keep anybody else from being in the hospital as a patient. And people were transferred and...
So people weren't putting the crap out before she actually had the baby. Because could you imagine her having the baby and then, like, something unforeseeable happens and then all of a sudden before she could even deal with it, she's being bombarded with, like, freaking media of what was she doing during her pregnancy to cause that and... You know, I could definitely understand why they would want to do that. Who would want to, you know, have people in their faces before they can settle?
Exactly. Well, you know, we only got like 2.5 minutes left.
Can we start over?
I wish we could do a whole nother hour. But anyways, tomorrow is Saturday, and you know what that means. Time for the Dick Pentland Show. 1 p.m. Well, maybe we can extend it. Let's see. Can we extend this time? At all? Maybe? Oh, my goodness. I think we can.
Seriously?
Nice. I think we could go. We could go another 30 minutes, but I don't think it's wise. I don't. But we might go over just a minute or two so we can kind of keep you guys alive until we're done.
Absolutely nothing. Where's the other one?
You know,
I feel like sometimes we just ramble on and on.
We do. Oh, we do. But, you know, tomorrow, Saturday, it's time for the Dick Pentland Show at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And tomorrow, they're talking about topical news. Topical news as in they're making topics out of the news. And one thing that they're going to be discussing is Ricky Cognito's football bullying, as far as I know. So make sure you join Jen, Jake, and the entire Dick Pentland and the entire cult of Jake.
Ridiculous.
Yes, well, make sure you guys are joining the entire cult of Jake tomorrow on the Dick Pentland Show. Also, make sure you're listening to Guilty Pleasures every Monday through Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. No Rules, Just Mics every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And Lips on the Air right here every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Who wants to give the final thought tonight?
I can't think of one right now.
Okay.
Don't eat yellow snow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good advice.
That's good. That's pretty sound. That's pretty solid advice. Yeah. Don't eat yellow snow. Don't take any wooden nickels.
Don't pee in the wind.
Don't pee in the wind.
Don't pee
on an electric fence. Don't pee on an electric fence. That's not good.
Oh my goodness.
You'll shock your willy. And it's not true what they say. You won't grow hair in your palms. Just saying.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Anyway.
Interesting.
Anyway, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for tuning into Lisp on the Air. We have had a fabulous time. Jeannie, thank you so much for calling in. Jasmine, thank you for being here tonight.
Yay.
This has been a fun hour. It went by really quick, and we had a good time. So I wanted to say a special thank you to all of our listeners in the chat room. Our two guests are Johnny Dubell, Bobby Butler, Jennifer Mulholland, if you can still hear us or still listening. Probably not. But if you are, you know, we love you guys. And just thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been fun. And until next weekend, until next week, until next Friday, this is Lisp kissing off. Mwah! Good night, everybody.
Night.
Yeah.
What?
I always, want to sing along. Like, I'm, like, getting ready, like, I'm the guy who knit. Yeah, I'm just jamming.
Boy. I want to do a new theme song. We need a new one.
Do it.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.